We're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is Eyes Off Springfield. The Warner Brothers Company, founded in 1903 by, indeed, four brothers. Harry, Albert, Sam, and Jack Warner were all the sons of Benjamin Eichelbaum, an immigrant Polish cobbler and peddler. The brothers began their careers showing moving pictures in Ohio and Pennsylvania on a traveling basis. They started acquiring movie theaters, and then they ran into film distribution. In 1913, they began producing their own film, and in 1917, they shifted their production headquarters to Hollywood, California. They established Warner Brothers Pictures in 1923. The eldest of the brothers, Harry, was the president of the company and ran its headquarters in New York, while Albert was its treasurer and head of sales and distribution. Sam and Jack managed the studios in Hollywood. Jump ahead to 1993, where The Animaniacs, an American animated comedy musical television series created by Tom Ruger for Fox Broadcasting's Fox Kids Block, is created. It followed the antics of Warner Brothers' Wacko, Yakko, and of course their sister Dot, who had been locked in the studio's water tower for 60 years. The show also featured a rotating cast of classically inspired cartoon characters such as Minerva Mink, Slappy and Skippy Squirrel, Mr. Skullhead, and the beloved mouse duo Pinky and the Brain. Animaniacs was a variety show with short skits featuring a large cast of characters. While the show had no set format, the majority of the episodes were composed of three mini-episodes, each starring a different set of characters and bridging segments. Hallmarks of the series included its music, character catchphrase, and humors directed at both kids and adults. The show ran on Fox for 2 years before moving to the WB in 1995, until the series ended in 1998 as part of the Kids WB programming block. It was the second animated series produced by Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment, also of Gremlins fame, with Warner Brothers, right after Tiny Toon Adventures. It initially ran for a total of 99 episodes, with one feature-length straight-to-DVD film, Wacko's Wish. A revival of the series was announced in January 2018, with at least two seasons to be produced in conjunction with Amblin Entertainment and Warner Brothers Animation, with producer Steven Spielberg, songwriter Randy Rogel, and many of the main voice actors returning. It premiered on November 20th, 2020, on Hulu, with a second season expected to premiere in 2021. This week, Eyes Springfield will be eyeing Animani, Totally Insaney, Dana Delaney, Adventures of Animaniacs. That's right, we're the show that explores not The Simpsons, but whatever we feel like. And today, we're talking about the Animaniacs. I am half-annoyed grunt boy, Steve, and with me, as always...
The other half-annoyed grunt boy, Craig. Man, how many of these IF Springfields have we done so far, Steve? I feel like we've done too many.
Too many is correct, because there are two, and it's probably too many.
Hey, it's fun to finally do something that's not The Simpsons, right?
Yeah, a little change of pace, always a little fun.
Yeah. No, we never promised that we would give you an Eye Off Springfield like every week or every month.
Every month.
Maybe not even every year.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay for it, but this isn't like a lot of podcasts and their Patreon exclusives. No, because if we had a Patreon, we'd actually have to create content.
Good content.
Yeah, and not this dribble.
Yeah, at this point, you would have to get money from us if we had a Patreon. It's like, I'm so sorry, here's $5.
That's how it should be, right? Podcast, because everyone has them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you listen to my podcast? All right, I'll send you a check. I don't want to give any ideas away. I think it's pretty good because we did an animated Star Trek show review. Now we're doing a reboot of Animaniacs.
We like cartoons, evidently.
Do you think if we ever do another Eye Off Springfield, we should watch real people?
Ooh, sounds dangerous, but I think we could do it. I think it could be done.
I'm scared.
It's okay. It's going to be all right.
I assume that our fans only think we watch animated things.
I have seen some live action TV before, so.
Do tell.
Well, there was Barney Miller.
What a timely reference, Steve.
Yes. MASH.
I used to watch Buck Rogers.
Oh, that was a good intro, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, we should listen to it later.
Maybe.
Animaniacs.
Yeah, the classic show from Amblin Entertainment and Steven Spielberg that originally premiered in 1993, and it's back.
In POG form.
Wrong podcast, but yes. Oh. I'm sure there had to be Animaniacs POGs.
Well, it was the 90s, of course.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what drew you to the Animaniacs? You see what I said, Drew?
It's very nice. Well, growing up, I really loved, you know, the Warner Brothers cartoons and that whole world. But this felt like it was made for me. I loved Tiny Toons, but I think that Animaniacs was even better. And just the whole lineup of WB animation at that time of the mid to late 90s, your Freakazoids, your Earthworm Jims. It felt like I was a teenager when a lot of it came out.
But it felt like it was okay to watch it because it was for a bigger kid. And so I really love them.
You know, we watched The Simpsons at this time too, of course.
Right.
And as much as we liked The Simpsons then, we're not getting a lot of the adult jokes, I think, The Simpsons. And for Animaniacs, it was on our level, being like, oh, it feels highbrow for us. Like, oh, we're not watching the Power Rangers or whatever. That's for little kids.
Yeah.
We're watching Animaniacs, and they're doing adult-type jokes like The Simpsons would do. And you look at it now, and it's kind of funny with like the internet kind of like reintroducing the Animaniacs to a younger generation. Seeing all those older memes and all the older reference, like remember that old episode where Yakker or Wacker says you need a fingerprints, right?
Yeah,
and you know, Dot looks like fingerprints. I don't think so. Like
that was a joke I was going to bring up that I'm glad you mentioned, because that to me is like the definition of the adult joke that would go over a kid's head, but was so funny to me when I was watching it.
And we didn't realize that joke until like someone posted on the internet, like a few years ago, like, you remember this joke from the Animaniacs? You're like, holy shit. Wow. Okay. they are. And then watching this new version, when we'll get into it, that there's some jokes in there that like, okay, yeah, that's very adult jokes that would just fly over a kid's head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of the great thing about Animaniacs is it was on the level for kids, but it's still for adults. It's one of those like the whole family could watch and enjoy, just like the classic Looney Tunes cartoons. So classic Warner Brothers animation. Steve, let's take a break. And I feel like everyone he likes to hear our, well, they like to, but they listen to our stupid rants. I feel like maybe we should bring someone else in on this episode.
Ooh, a fresh voice. That sounds exciting.
All right. Well, we'll leave you with that. And maybe when you come back, there'll be a third voice with a higher pitch voice. Don't worry. It's not Steven and I doing some stupid, lame imitation. We promise.
Yeah, it's another person. Absolutely.
100% legit real.
Yes.
We vetted them out. So, yeah.
We just have to stick around and find out. We'll be right back. Today, we're talking about Jurassic Lark, Suspended Animation Part 1 of Mice and Memes, and Suspended Animation Part 2. It originally aired on a Twitter live stream on November 19th, 2020, and on Hulu, it premiered on November 20th, 2020. This is the first episode of the reboot season, but the 100th episode overall. Animation was by Snipple Studios. It was directed by Scott O'Brien and Katie Rice, and written by Andrew Barbeau, Kathleen Chen, Lucas Crandles, Jess Larcher, Timothy Nash, Brian Polk, Jordan Vandina, Greg White, and Wesley Wild. Our synopsis of this episode is, the Warner Brothers and Warner Sister return. Brain's meme fails to achieve world domination.
Hey, Steve, usually on our Simpsons podcast, I like to dive into the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Should I do that with all these writers?
Do you want to jump into the 7 or 8 writers that they have?
I feel like I should do a Yakko musical number, like dun 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 dun, dun like Andrew Barbeau, Kathleen Chen, Lucas Chen, Crandles, Jess Laker, Locker, Timothy Nash. You know. Hey, they've all written on the Animaniacs.
No, oh, that's nice.
I think the one that stood out for me was Wesley Wild, or is it Weasley Wild?
Wellesley.
Wellesley. He's got some pedigree. He wrote the Ted movies. He's written on Orville and Family Guy, so he's got Seth MacFarlane history behind him, you know?
Yeah, they're buds, probably.
He wrote also on the Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn. Mm. So I'm wondering if he was in the last segment before we get to it, you know, the throwing shade at Seth Meyers. That was competition right there, right?
Could be, yeah.
Well, not with Kilborn at the time.
But maybe he just has a hard time with the whole late night environment now.
He hates the late shows on NBC and not the ones on CBS.
James Corden, funny.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, a lot of these writers worked on many of the other animated shows. I won't get into it, but they're fun people, I guess. I don't know, hey, this is something different. Well, this is only our second episode of IOP Springfield, usually on our other Simpsons podcast. It's just us.
Yeah.
But I know someone else who's an Animaniacs fan and grew up with this.
Well, why don't you introduce them?
They cohabitate in this same domicile.
Mm-hmm.
Flatmate, roommate. What's the most romantic way I can say? No. Fiance.
There you go.
I hate being that person. Heather, welcome. Heather.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on.
So excited to be on your podcast, finally.
Yes, the one podcast where no one listens to. You've been on the podcast before. I think your voice has been in the background like one or two episodes, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. You told me to say something, and I flubbed it, and I said, can I do it again? And you said no.
That sounds about right. But so welcome to this episode. We're going to be talking Animaniacs, and I know you're a big fan. So let's all just kind of talk about where we started watching this. I mean, that sounds weird. We all watched it on a TV, but what drew us into the Yakko, Wakko, and the Dot?
So this is weird. I remember specifically the hype surrounding Animaniacs before it was on the air. I remember being excited that there was going to be black and white 1930s cartoon characters on a modern in-color show, because I used to like watching all those old Popeye cartoons and Little Lulu and all that really old stuff, because we had VHS tapes with like 101 of the greatest cartoons, and my mom hated that VHS tape, but I wanted to watch it every day as a small child. So I was excited for brand new 1930s characters. But it's weird, because I was seven. It's weird for a seven-year-old to be really excited about a 1930s characters being modernized.
Did you watch Looney Tunes growing up?
Oh my goodness, yes. I watched so much Looney Tunes. When people ask me why I like big band music, I can only attribute it to having watched so much Looney Tunes, because my parents certainly didn't listen to that. They listened to David Bowie and that stuff. So the music from Looney Tunes, definitely.
I remember having a VHS tape of like a Disney cartoons. I'm trying to think what it was. And I watched that one too, but it was like...
Was it Song of the South?
Yeah, it was great. I related so much to it. No, it had...
Is it Merry Melodies? Did they sing? Was there a little
dancing?
No.
It was Disney. It was Guinea Pigs, I think. Does anyone remember this one? And they kept like multiplying. Mm. And there was Lambert the Sheepish Lion, that one.
Oh, yeah.
And
Lambert.
Yeah. But I remember watching that one. So it was like from the 50s. I remember watching that one because you were talking about the VHS tapes of the Looney Tunes. But yeah, the Silly Symphony. Wait, you said Silly Symphony.
I said Merry Melodies. But okay. Silly yeah. Symphonies is the.
There it is. Yeah. Now, wasn't Animaniacs originally. They did a. They were on Tiny Toons first, right?
I don't believe so, actually.
Oh, why do I have.
Don't think so.
I thought they were on Tiny Toons and it was like a backdoor pilot.
I think they just kind of shared the same production company, and they, you know, premiered like a year or two after Tiny Toons, because there was Tiny Toons and there was the Plucky Duck Show and then this Animaniacs.
I never saw the Plucky Duck Show. I watched a lot of Tiny Toons. I had the SNES Buster Busts Loose game.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like third grade, yeah, I started drawing a lot of the Tiny Toons characters, really into Tiny Toons. So, of course, it's the same, you know, production company, the Steven Spielberg presents Animaniacs. So, of course, I was, yeah, the hype. You said earlier, Heather, the hype. And I remember I was in sixth grade when this came out. It was the beginning of the school year, and we had to do a survey and then talk to students just to get to know each other, that kind of breaking the ice thing. And I remember, like, you know, the questions like, your favorite color or your favorite TV show, blah, blah, blah. And I remember, like, I was meeting someone, and I was like, what's your favorite TV show? And he's like, Animaniacs. I'm like, bro. Well, of course, I didn't say bro, but I'm like, how can Animaniacs be your favorite show? It hasn't been on the air yet. And they're like, oh, I'm just so excited for it. I know it's going to be my favorite show. Is what I should have said, but then I just said, yeah, me too. I just wanted to make friends.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, I'm going back real quick here to Tiny Toons. There's actually an episode of Tiny Toons called Animaniacs. It's the 36th episode of Tiny Toon Adventures.
I'm looking at this right now as well. And I think it's just, they just like that word.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking about as a Plucky Duck episode. But it predated the Animaniacs, but Ralph the Guard from Animaniacs was in this episode, apparently. Hmm. Or, yeah. Okay, sorry.
No, but it's they are very spiritually similar. And, you know, I think that it, for me, like, growing up, there was the Ramblin' Rod Show, which was a local, kind of a local Krusty the Clown, if you will. And they would show Looney Tunes and Merry Melody cartoons. And
Popeye.
That's kinda, exactly. And that's kind of where I first got into cartoons. And then having the Tiny Toons and then the Animaniacs come out, it was like, they seemed a bit more made for me and more modern and a little bit naughty. I don't like that.
I think it was like the right progression for our age, because we did grow up with Tiny Toons,
mm-hmm.
and it was more palatable for, you know, that third grader in us. And Animaniacs was like perfect for, like, because we grew up, so our animation, of course, we were watching The Simpsons at the time, so
yeah.
But Animaniacs was a little bit more tolerable for parents, probably, for their kids to watch rather than The Simpsons.
Yeah, I think so, because Tiny Toons could skew a little childish.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a bit more.
Yeah, I liked about Looney Tunes specifically, they had all these jokes that adults would get and kids didn't get. I still, when I rewatch a Looney Tunes, I get jokes like, what? That's what that was the whole time? And I feel like Animaniacs does that too. There's all kinds of references to pop culture things and politicians and stuff. When you're a little kid, you don't, maybe you see them on, you don't want to watch the news. So mm-hmm. you might recognize the names, but you're not going to get the jokes as much as your parents would, so they would maybe get enjoyment from watching it with you. My mom sure did. She liked Pinky and the Brain as much as I did.
The Pinky and the Brain, so popular, they had their own spinoff that was actually a prime time show. It wasn't daytime or, you know, when the Animaniacs was on.
But yeah, I remember watching the premiere with my dad, weirdly enough.
Wasn't it, it was on, like, wasn't it on opposite of The Simpsons on Sundays at like 8?
I think you're right.
Yeah, or maybe 8:30. I don't know.
Wait,
I
mean, at night?
Yeah, Pinky and the Brain show was prime time.
Wow, I had no idea.
But now they're back on Animaniacs, and hey, let's, you're talking about pop culture and politics things. You knew who Bill Clinton was because of the intro song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you know who played the sax, and there's lots of, you know, Animaniacs was great at doing the lot of innuendos. Like you said, Heather, about Looney Tunes. Like, there's a lot of Looney Tunes cartoons that they won't show these days because it's not PC.
Yeah, it's straight up propaganda, some of them.
There's propaganda. There's
horrible racism.
Racism, homophobic episodes. I can think of one. Real quickly, is a foghorn leghorn, and he was trying to date the mother hen. And you remember the little dorky rooster that was her kid?
The chicken hawk?
Yeah, chicken hawk. Like, literally, he straight up, he calls, he thinks that, because he wants to play catch with the little kid, like baseball. Foghorn's like, let's play baseball. And he's like, I don't like playing baseball. I'd rather, like, you know, do math homework or whatever. And Foghorn Leghorn looks at the camera. He's like, a little boy who doesn't want to play baseball is a little, you know. Literally just calling him, like, homosexual.
Yeah.
And Foghorn Leghorn, that self, that character itself, is also inherently racist character.
It's true.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of inappropriate humor. So we were talking about the Animaniacs, getting back to what I was trying to say, is when this episode, the first one we're going to talk about, there's definitely a lot of things in this episode that, like, oh, that's aimed for us adults. These kids aren't going to get these jokes. So, I don't know, let's get into it, right?
I think just them starting off with Jurassic Park, that whole Jurassic Park scene, that's for us. They're like, we know exactly who's going to watch this show. It's everybody that watched Jurassic Park at the same time.
Yeah, and they were they both premiered at the same time too, right?
Like, yeah, 1993 they both came out, so it's a big mm-hmm. summer for Steven Spielberg. I mean, most summers are probably big for him, but
not this last summer.
That's true.
I don't know what he did.
Probably stayed home.
So let's just get into it, right? What's the cold open, Steve, here?
Alrighty, so the first segment, Jurassic Lark, so a crew that resembles the cast of Jurassic Park, uncovers Yakko, Wacko, and Dot into the wilderness. And Steven Spielberg explains that they're back after 22 years, and it's not a rerun. He also explains that Pinky and Brain are also back, causing the Doctor to faint. The Warner Brothers bounce away, and the intro starts.
Helen, this species of cartoon has been extinct since 1998. I mean, these haven't been seen on TV since the golden era of animation, and what?
It's the Warner Brothers.
And the Warner sister!
He
did it. That crazy son of a gun actually did it.
Clean vectored outlines. Widescreen format.
These don't look like reruns.
They're not. I reanimated them.
Now, I know Spielberg is a executive producer on the shows. Don't you think he, since this is, like, you know, his name on it, he would actually lend his voice? But no, he's a voice actor. Come on, Steven.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, he could have done it.
Not you, Steven.
Okay. Yeah, don't come on me.
There we go. I really enjoyed the whole Jurassic Park thing, just because it was, yeah, like we said, it was our youth.
Yeah, and I think it was really wise of them to release that as kind of the teaser trailer, too, because it really kind of did a really good job of reintroducing them to the audience that grew up with them and loved them so much.
I mean, Jurassic Park is such an iconic film that I think even as us 30-year-olds without children, if we had children, they would have probably seen Jurassic Park by now. Mm-hmm. So even kids could understand this reference.
There's that whole meme, too. Everybody knows the meme of them in the Jeep, and he can see the dinosaur as she's just looking straight forward and then stands up and he turns her head. That's, any number of memes are attached to that one.
And I'd say, too, because of the Jurassic World movies, which kids, you know, like those movies, they'd have to have gone back to watch the original ones.
Mm-hmm.
They probably think they're boring. Well, I mean, this is the first one, because the other two Jurassic Park movies aren't that great. There's only really one good Jurassic Park movie. Let's just, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Hey, Steve, you know there's an animated Jurassic Park on Netflix, right?
I've heard about that. I've not actually watched it, though. It's like kids, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, do we do an Eye Off Springfield?
I think we're probably good.
We're good. Actually, Heather and I did watch the first episode just to see what it was. And we're like, yeah, it's not for us. It's for kids.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'll literally watch My Little Pony and enjoy it, but I think it was missing the adult jokes. Not like dirty adult jokes, but it was missing the, you know, connection for a wider audience. It literally was just, here, little kids, here's how to be friends with each other and share.
And also not get eaten by a dinosaur.
And don't be snooty, and I don't know. Yeah.
So this first clip, I think Steve said it was previewed at the New York City Comic Con Anime Expanded on October 11th, 2020. It was a virtual Comic Con, guys, you know, how we're doing things these days.
Yeah, you can't have dinosaurs at a real Comic Con.
Yeah. So then the theme song. We get the classic theme song. It's mostly the same. There's a little clip with their careers making a comeback and showing that the Warner brothers and their sister climbing from their graves to sign a very amazing contract for just 2 years, which I really enjoyed that. And they mentioned a brand new cast who's been tested well in a focus group. And I think one of my favorite lines in the intro song is they mentioned that there's a gender balance and it's pronoun neutral and ethnically diverse.
It's good of them.
Perfect. I mean, it's a great message for these times.
Yep. The song continues to say that the trolls will say that we're so passé, but they did meta first. I really like that line because they were kind of, I think, you know, our generation is so into metatextual humor. And I think that the Animaniacs is one of the reasons why. And then we have a variable verse, which they used to do, of Dot singing Have No Shamey as she enjoys several Animaniacs themed products.
Yep. I think this watching that intro was I was like, okay, I think they're back. It's great.
Yeah, I think that they captured the old spirit and it added it just enough that it didn't seem like weird or off.
I was just going to say earlier, it's neat watching the video side by side of the original intro and the new one. They're almost frame for frame for parts of it, other than the obvious sections that they've cut out. But I like that they did that and didn't just do something completely from scratch. One difference I noticed, because I have the song memorized, of course, that you mentioned about the gender neutral, pronoun neutral thing. So the original line used to be, Dot would say, Dot is cute, but now it's Dot has wit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Good catch.
I mean, she's still cute, but, you know.
Right.
That doesn't identify her now.
Are you saying that women shouldn't be identified just by their physical appearance?
No.
I'm asking both of you.
No?
Oh, okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Sexism solved.
Yep. That's easy. That was easy. All right, bye. Is that what we're here to do?
Thanks, Animaniacs.
Yeah. You're right about the animation, too. I like that because, like, even, like, the baloney in her slacks and then Yakko packs away the snacks. It's in the, like, they just made the joke. It's in the widescreen vector format. It's great. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
And I love the fact that they didn't go CGI or try and fancy them up to make them look more modern. They look like the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was even saying this to Heather that in a lot of, like, the background, it still kind of looks like classic animated cell paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Which we know it's not, but it still has that classic Looney Tunes, like, looks like someone actually painted on a glass.
I just assume they did, so good for them.
I'd love it if they did, but I think that's a dead art. It doesn't exist anymore, so.
Yeah, but Snipple Animation, they did a good job.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Snipple. You know you've got nipple in your name.
Is my name leaking?
Anyway, let's start our episode proper.
Okay.
For Suspended Animation Part 1. And it begins with Yakko, Wakko, and Dot contemplating their first words back for the reboot.
All right, guys, there's a lot of pressure on our first lines. They gotta be funny. They gotta be irreverent. And most of all, they gotta be carefully crafted.
But you just wasted yours on... All right, guys, there's a lot of pressure on our first lines.
And you just wasted yours on...
But you just wasted yours on... All right, guys, there's a lot of pressure on our first lines.
Wait, don't. Make sure it's good first.
Yeah, it's all on you, Dot.
Maybe something reminiscent of the first season?
But modern to show that we're not your dad's animaniac.
But not so modern that you'll alienate the dads because they're a key part of our demographic. Don't overthink it.
22 years later and I'm still a knockout.
Heather, you're somewhat in the voiceover industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nothing's changed after 22 years. Like the actors have the voices down, right?
Yeah, they sound very, very similar to the original characters, which is definitely pretty amazing considering how much time has passed. 22 years, is it? Mm-hmm. They say in the episode. I also really, really enjoy when other voice actors mimic each other. That's one of my favorite ever things.
Tress McNeil, who plays Dot, she's, I looked it up the other day, she's like 69 years old.
Nice.
Her Dot hasn't changed. Like,
no.
We talk about on the Simpsons podcast, or other hit podcast, about some of the actors, the voice actors. You can tell they're aging or the voices are sound a little different. But Tress McNeil has always been on top of her game.
Oh, yeah.
If anything, she sounds better, like more on point. I notice even in the intro and the songs, all the singing, they do so much singing. They have such sweet, nice voices in their songs now. And then Rob Paulsen, who does Yakko and Pinky, he had, I think, like throat cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he's still, let me make sure I got the right cancer here. I don't want to misname his, let me see. Sorry, typing noise. Yes, throat cancer, survivor of throat cancer, Rob Paulsen. Wow. And he's still Yakko and Pinky and other things.
Since you're in the voiceover, like, it's such a small community of actors that Rob Paulsen is, he's been voicing our cartoons of our youth for, well, pretty much since we've been born, Steve.
It's true.
I mean, he was on a G.I. Joe. That was one of your favorites.
Indeed.
He was Snowjob, Tripwire.
Snowjob was one of my first favorite characters.
And one of your first sexual experiences.
That too.
Don't forget, he was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right.
He's Donatello, Raphael. He's been in many different Ninja Turtles episodes, shows. There's lots of Ninja Turtle shows now.
That's true.
Yeah, we started watching, which one did we start watching? The one from the early 2000s or mid 2000s? Because there's Rise of the Ninja Turtles, which is like a newer one. We didn't watch that one, right?
It wasn't the 2012. It was... Nope, there's just way too many things on the IMDb page.
It is a 2012. The CGI animated one, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
I believe you.
It's pretty good. And then we get, of course, Jess Harnell, which is Wakko.
Mm-hmm.
Getting another... Yeah, everyone's just... Everyone's great on the show.
Yeah, so the Warner Brothers arrive at the Warner Brothers studio, and they go to their water tower. Once in, they discover that it's been guarded by a security system with lasers to catch the Warners. However, this proves ineffective and doesn't catch them at all. After leaving the tower, they go see Ralph the guard, and when he discovers them, he chases after them. The Warner Brothers instead capture him and go see the CEO, who turns out to be a new female CEO, Nora Rita Norita, rather than the old Mr. Plotz, who we remember. Norita already knows about them from the internet, however. The Warner Brothers are puzzled by the tablet that she has, and the CEO says it contains all of human knowledge. Yakko thinks it's something to eat and proceeds to do just that. The information downloads to Yakko, and the Warners sing a song about what they've messed up in the past 22 years.
You see, taxis are Ubers, the stars are YouTubers, Neil Tyson gave Pluto the axe. Cell phones got smarter, the oceans got hotter, the global economy collapsed. We get internet deals on our hyphenate meals like case-free vegan paleo sausage. We don't leave our homes thanks to Amazon drones. They track what we do through our watches.
What's going on? Will we be okay? Has it all gone mad since we went away? Oh, update us, please, and put us at ease, because we've run out of jokes about the 90s.
Al, found or lost dad, cause a one hanging Chad W hunted for WMDs. Obama brought hope, so Clinton thought dope.
2016 should be a real breach.
So Hillary finally broke that glass ceiling?
No, but it certainly does feel like it's raining shards of glass all around us. The country's cut into two, the red and the blue. Facebook's a toxic waste dump. The Fox friends are doting, the Russians are voting, and now there's a President Trump. At least we think there's still a President Trump. You see, the writers are writing this in 2018.
How is that possible? The people rely on Animaniacs for outrageous and relevant content.
Well, how can we finish catching up when we don't know what happened in the last 2 years?
I don't know. Wild guesses?
Sounds good to me.
Well, the song continues, but based on copyrights, we can't play the whole thing, right, Steve?
Yeah, and before we get to into the song, do you think that the CEO kind of has some Lindsay Nagel vibes?
Yeah, a little bit. Norita. Mm-hmm. Great name.
Yeah.
I loved the opening, too. The when Wacko goes to get his sandwich, does a sandwich dance. That wasn't him going through lasers.
Yeah, I like that joke a lot.
I thought of you when the I thought of The Simpsons because the sandwich reminded me of Homer's sandwich. And there was that pickle that was going to the ground. I thought you might have been disgusted by that.
I was. I didn't like it. I don't like pickles.
I'm fairly certain that was a moldy tomato.
Oh, it was a tomato, not a pickle.
That's fine then.
Yeah, Steve would rather have a moldy tomato than a normal pickle.
Yeah, unless it's on a hamburger, then it's fine.
What about a fried pickle?
You lost me a pickle, but you had me fried.
All right, I'll just I'll take the pickle out and you can just have the batter.
That works for me.
It'll still be pickle-flavored batter.
Yeah, but still fried.
So you were talking about earlier about the adult things, mm-hmm. and that song was very much for adults. Talking about the collapse of the economy, we get that orange buffoon reference. Great animation on him, too.
Yeah. In the next episode, that there's a thing with Odysseus, and he plays a Cyclops. In the second episode, I really like that a lot.
I think I remember that. We watched these late one night after a few cocktails.
While working in your lab?
While working in our lab. I'm trying to kind of take over the world, yeah. I think it's just watching this opening and then the song, like catching up. So far, I think they're just hitting it out of the park.
Yeah, I love the fact that when they're talking about running out of 90s jokes, not only are they in the Friends fountain, but Wacko has a Hannibal Lecter mask on.
Oh, and how about the great Bill Clinton with the sax coming mm-hmm. up from the fountain? I just love that too.
And as they continue, it shows like some of the things that could happen. And there's a spot where Dot's wearing a mask like she should be.
Oh, do you think they added that in post?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, they had gas masks when they were living underground, so that mm-hmm. was creepy. But then when she was in the chicken factory farm,
there it is, yeah.
She had the mask on. I thought that was a little spooky.
Well, famous Warner Brothers characters, IP, that
so
we
do
see.
I.
Yeah. Oh, that means intellectual property, Steve, not I urinate. We see the little Harry Potter. We see a Wonder Woman, a Batman. Even Lord of the Rings, they're all referenced.
It's a lot of fun to see all those like little cameos in the background there.
There's a cameo coming up in segment four that I have some issues with.
Oh boy.
Thanks, Sam Beckett. That was our first segment. What do you think? We're back.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It never stopped. It just picked up right where it left off.
Now, like all classic Animaniacs, we get a middle segment. Who do you think it is? Maybe we
Snappy the Squirrel?
She was old and she probably retired. That's why we haven't seen her yet.
Oh, okay. Is it Mindy and Buttons then?
She grew up and she's on OnlyFans now.
Oh, man. Okay. Good Feathers? It's got to be Good Feathers.
They ate some Alka-Seltzer and exploded and died. Allegedly, because they're gangsters, you see.
Mm-hmm.
No, Heather, why don't you introduce this next segment?
Well, to my utter joy, it's Pinky and the Brain. What else can I say that's interesting? I'm so excited. It's Pinky and the Brain.
Now, you talked to me before, but was Pinky and the Brain was your favorite of the Animaniacs, the characters?
Yes. Yep. They're my favorite. I used to turn on Pinky and the Brain episodes all the time in the background, just as the show you want to watch when you don't want to think and you want to have happy feelings, not worry about anything. I watched a lot of those in college. My gosh, I have lots of Pinky and the Brain stories, but unfortunately, they're going to show the world, all two of your podcast listeners, how much of a dork your fiance is. The first being that my senior quote in my senior yearbook was, "Wahahaha, Narf!" It was Wahahahaha-narf. That's true. And my sophomore year of high school, when I was in the marching band, that Halloween, we weren't going to do anything for Halloween. So at the last minute, a few of us decided to just go walk around the neighborhood. I don't think we were trick-or-treating or anything. I think we just wanted to dress up and go walk around and laugh at other little kids' costumes. That's our thing. So I threw together the worst costume I ever made. It was my marching band white pants, because it was the only pair of white pants I had. White shirt, a pink pool noodle, and I don't know if you can tell where I'm going. I dressed up as Pinky. So white shirt, white pants, pink pool noodle table that I think I also wrapped with like crepe paper to make it even, I don't know, pinker. But here's the worst part. I didn't have any face paint, so I painted my hands and feet with lipstick. Pink lipstick. I made some ears out of cardboard. Those were fine. But needless to say, those marching pants were completely ruined and probably cost $100.
Yeah, I also was in the marching band, and our uniform was also white too, so I can imagine, because you don't own that. You're borrowing that.
No. Yeah. I was trying to be very careful. I rolled it up. I wanted to make sure none of the lipstick touched the pants, but there's no way to guarantee. There's no way. It was, yeah. Mistakes were made.
This is how, like, I'll still have nightmares about marching band, and I'll be at a performance and I forgot my shoes, because that would happen to a lot of times to people. So marching on that field without shoes.
So if you didn't bring your shoes, did you have to like just wear normal shoes or?
Yeah, that's it. The judges would knock points.
Oh.
They'd be like, oh, no, not everyone's wearing full uniform.
Hmm.
I think a lot of times they actually had like spare shoes, maybe. I don't know. Ran on a tangent. Heather's fault thinking about marching band and white. I still have my marching band shoes, by the way. I think they were called
Didn't they work your way into your like your everyday rotation for a little bit?
Like in my early 20s, yeah, when I was like a hipster doofus. Yep, definitely.
Sure.
Yeah, I ended up wearing mine when I worked at a 50s diner over the summer after high school. But you would think that marching band shoes would be comfortable because of all the marching you do. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. No. The most uncomfortable shoes I've ever had, and I have dance shoes. Lots of them.
Well, let's dance to Pinky in the Brain.
Alrighty. So
terrible segment.
It was great. So in 1998, Pinky is watching a television show about the stupidest animals ever with a host that looks a lot like Bob Saget. And Brain realizes that people really love watching shows similar to that dumb show.
I can't get enough! Oh, I wish I could carry the television around with me so I could watch it all the time.
That's it. Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain. But if I clone myself, how will I know which one to shoot when I turn evil?
No, Pinky. It's all so clear to me now. To take over the world, we must give the people what they truly want.
Okay, Brain. I'll do it. But only if it's tasteful and makes sense for my character.
Silence, Pinky. My work begins.
One of my favorite parts is they start playing the Buck Rogers theme song.
Mm-hmm.
That's even like probably dated for even us.
Yeah.
The fact that the dun, 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 like, that's one of my favorite TV theme songs, by the way, is the Buck Rogers. I'm sorry.
I didn't catch that one. How does it go?
So Buck Rogers was a show in the 80s. Only lasted a couple seasons. Well,
I'm familiar with Duck Dodgers of the 24th and a half century.
Well, that's kind of what it's to take on, because Buck Rogers was an old cereal.
From the 30s, yeah.
From the 30s, yeah. Like watch, not choo-choo cereal.
And then they brought it back late 70s, I think, 79.
In the year 1987, NASA launched the last of America's deep space probes. Aboard this compact starship, a lone astronaut, Captain William Buck Rogers, was to experience cosmic forces beyond all comprehension. In a freak mishap, his life support systems were frozen by temperatures beyond imagination. Ranger 3 was blown out of its planned trajectory into an orbit 1,000 times more vast, an orbit which was to return Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
I
I just remember on Saturday mornings, like after cartoons were done, you switch over to Channel 12 and they'd show an episode of that, an episode of Battlestar Galactica, and then WWF wrestling. So I would basically watch 8 hours of TV every Saturday.
Did Lauren Green ever fight The Undertaker?
I think so.
Did Twinkie the Robot show up and tag team with Andre the Giant?
he got body slammed by the $1 Million Man, Ted DiBiase.
Hey, back to Animaniacs. So there's Buck Rogers, and they played that. Anyway, Brain works on the evil plan that takes 22 years, and he finally finishes around the age of the smartphone.
Yeah.
People post videos of funny animals, and it becomes extremely viral.
The internet is the most powerful information-sharing tool ever devised. And do you know what most humans use it for?
I do, but I don't think I can say it.
Surprisingly, no, Pinky. Watch closely. You see, humans are obsessed with cute, silly animals. They can't look away.
Once they upload these adorable videos to the internet, people around the world marvel at them. With their undivided attention, they are the perfect, unsuspecting pawns for my master plan. I will become the internet's cutest and silliest animal.
I loved when Brain was like, hey, you know what everyone uses the internet for, right? Pinky's like, yeah, I probably can't say.
Talking about porn.
There you go. Oh, I thought they were looking up recipes on foodnetwork.com, Steve. That's all I do.
Allrecipes.com for me. Thank you very much. That's as long as there's not a stupid blog post before that. Crazy.
I think I saw a funny tweet today. Someone posted, it was, what's Biden going to do about these food recipes about people and their 20-page story that has nothing to do with their mac and cheese recipe? So I think Heather was talking about how, like, the earlier, how the adult jokes, like, there was one right there just of the porn joke.
And before Pinky was talking about doing some nudity, as long as it was tasteful.
Pinky has an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
But they don't wear clothes. They're always naked.
It's a fair point, but maybe do mice have retractable penises? Because maybe he can, like, hang mouse dog.
I had a male rat. I can confirm that some of it's not visible, but the balls are definitely there for the whole world to see.
I feel like Pinky and the Brain might have been neutered, though. I don't know. Are laboratory mice usually neutered? No, they probably have to keep them intact. Just, you know, yeah, whatever experiments they want to do.
Plus, if you don't neuter them, free mice.
Hey, did we miss my favorite joke in that? I don't know if we had the clip. There was a human brain.
Oh, that was a little bit before. I almost added that clip.
Our brain was like something about the human brain. And then Pinky's like, there's a human version of you?
Oh, yeah. I just, that one for me, I don't know if the joke was that funny. It was just Rob Paulsen was just like, there's a human version of you. He had so much energy.
And all by manipulating the alpha waves of the human brain.
There's a human you!
It reminded me of one of my favorite jokes from the TV show 30 Rock, where I forget who was talking to Tracy Morgan, but he said, he's evil Tracy. And Tracy Morgan was like, he's evil Tracy. Oh,
we gotta stop him.
We gotta stop him. Oh, you mean evil comma Tracy. It's a great line.
What did we think of the playfully racist laughing clip?
So that, I was thinking of that too. Yeah, you know, showing all the stereotypes of like French people and Russian people.
I'm just imagining the script. Like, what was the voice actor in the booth reading? Like, laugh in an Italian, what would that be? Sound Italian while you laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Ha-ha, ha-ha,
ha-ha. How would you?
I mean, it's not politically correct. And that's, we're saying that's the charm.
Yeah.
Politically incorrect. But I mean
they are just making fun of white people. So who cares? It's fine. But the video of the duck with the fireworks was pretty funny.
Is that based on a real viral video?
I don't think so. I think they probably thought of it themselves.
I kind of hope so, though.
Yeah.
Oop. Poor duck.
Looking it up online, and I did not spell ducks right. Yikes. Typing in ducks fireworks is fun, but not what I'm looking for.
Jesus. Well, Steve, you keep looking up ducks, and I'll just let you know that I'm peeking the brain here. Brain says that he will post funny videos of himself with a mind control filter, allowing him to take over the world, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So in a little cute scene here, the rat or mouse known as Brain dresses up like a cute little baby, and he's going to make a video of him. But the video doesn't go viral at all, and he just gives up. But then Peaky accidentally knocks Brain into a globe and posted the video of him stuck in it with the mind control filter. Is that on Instagram?
Snapchat? Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So he becomes famous like he wanted to be, and he goes on one of our favorite late night talk shows that's not hosted by a Jimmy, but it's hosted by a Seth Meyers.
Hi, I'm Seth Meyers, and the reason this phase is allowed on TV is no one's watching anyway. And speaking of things that people pretend to watch but don't, opera, please welcome the latest internet sensation, Opera Cat. With a blonde wig like that, you could be president. You'll get it. I'll wait.
So like I mentioned before, the voice actor there of Seth Meyers was, I had his name up here. I thought it was Seth Meyers at first doing
Me too.
An exaggerated version of himself. But who's the voice actor on that?
Yeah, he sounded more like Seth Meyers than the first Jurassic Park characters did, trying to sound like their
right
characters.
Yeah.
Brandon Hunt. Kudos to you, Brendan. That was amazing job.
Yeah, and throwing the shade at the at Seth Meyers. I mean, for my money, he's probably my favorite late night host on right now. Just because I think that, you know, he has a really good staff of writers. But I like his smug mug and
smug mug.
Yeah. The way that they animated his face too.
It's it looks great.
Yeah.
I bet Seth Meyers actually enjoyed his parody.
I think so. I mean, he did have an animated show on Hulu a few years back.
Oh yeah, Drawn Together.
Nope.
Was it like the yeah?
It was like some superhero thing, like the
right
Unmissables or something. Like that. I don't know.
We're not going to be doing an IF screen photo on that anytime soon.
No.
Stay tuned next week for Seth Meyers the cartoon. Did you get the joke at the end though?
He's still waiting on me. So.
Yeah, was it a Trump thing?
Yeah, because they mentioned that the cat had fine blonde hair.
But now Trump has gray hair, like every president mm-hmm. when they're leaving the office. That's nice to say that, isn't it?
It really is.
Hey, we're not a political side podcast, Steve.
That's right. But so before he can be on the air, Brian is knocked off the show for a meme called Business Pig.
Who's knocked off the air, Steve? You said Brian.
I knew I was going to do that. Damn it. It's the one time when it's Brain. Brain Mouse is knocked off the show for a meme called Business Pig, which became popular because Pinky reshared the video over with using the mind filter. Pinky and Brain leave to Acme Labs, where Brain decides to prepare his next scheme to take over the world.
Oh boy, what did you guys think of the first Pinky and the Brain?
I loved it.
I too enjoyed it. I loved that they had... My favorite kind of jokes is always when Pinky pretends like he knows something, says something completely random. I don't know where these people get these ideas. And then Brain's like, no, come back to reality. I forget what it was in that episode, but...
Oh, the cloning one. It was like, I don't know who to kill if I clone myself. Who's the evil one? I thought that was mm-hmm. great.
Yep.
So this was the first overall solo Pinky and the Brain cartoon to air since their spinoff wrapped up in 98. And it was the first one to air under the Animaniacs titles since the Brain's Apprentice.
And Craig, I got some trivia for you.
Oh, great.
The episode is titled, or segment is titled, Of Mice and Memes, which is a parody of the John Steinbeck novel Of Mice and Men.
You don't say.
I do say.
I'm so glad you can fill us with these useful facts.
What I'm here for.
Heather, you don't happen to have any useless trivia for us, do you?
The only thing is that I had to look up Brendan Hunt because I hadn't heard of him. And I'm like, a voice actor I haven't heard of. And it turns out he's not a voice actor. He's done mostly live action things. So there you go.
So he just has a wicked Seth Meyers impersonation. That's cool.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he was in Fallout 4. That's about it. So good for him. Kudos.
I do like how, yeah, when you're talking about, they're referring to the Jimmies, the Jimmy Kimmels and the Jimmy Fallon. Lots of Jimmies.
Too many Jimmies. Yeah. So why don't we go on to our final segment of the show, Suspended Animation Part 2.
The wackos and the yakos and the wackos and the dots, they're walking around the studio lots. So they come across some workers carrying a model of the Enterprise from Star Trek.
Oh,
Star Trek is back?
Yeah.
It's one of them reboots.
It's a cost-effective way to reintroduce IP to a whole new generation.
Or the next generation, if I make it so.
Set phases to killing it!
All right, I'm going to air my grievances real quick.
Oh, is that? Yeah, okay.
One, it's a nice connection to our very first episode that we did at IOP Springfield with Star Trek Lower Decks, so we can bring in a Star Trek in there, for instance. But everyone should know that Warner Brothers does not own the IP of Star Trek. That's Paramount.
Uh-huh. Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
So they also noticed some posters for some rebooted series around the lot, and then Yakko launches into a song that takes stabs at Hollywood's penchant for rebooting shows.
They just bring back old shows now?
I bet I could sing a bitingly satirical song about it.
Didn't we just do that right before Pinky and the Brain?
Uh-uh-uh. We're also part of the Age of Reboot, sis. We gotta do it again.
They ran out of ideas for fresh new shows. So Hollywood did the only thing it knows. Murphy Brown, Melrose Place, Gilmore Girls, Lost in Space. That's so Ravens, what they're craving.
I know that's a show worth saving.
I vote X-Files for a comeback.
Your company's still a real snack.
Would the Golden Girls be darker
if we resurrect B. Arthur?
I could have listened to all that song, but again, you know, don't want to play the whole episode, but
no.
I thought that was a lot of fun. And there have been a lot of reboots.
So many reboots.
Some of those I had no idea. Murphy Brown, there was a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore Girls, I never watched. I never watched That's So Raven either because I'm old, but not as old as you guys. So but they're already rebooting things that I was doing. I was already past.
Wait, there is a That's So Raven reboot?
Yeah, she's a mom now.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah,
wow.
I mean, they mentioned Fuller House. Don't forget there was a, they didn't mention it in the show, but I'm just trying to think of reboots. Girl Meets World, which was the Boy Meets World.
Mm-hmm. Saved by the Bell, you said.
Which, spoilers, that might be another IOP Springfield. that's fine.
You can cut that out.
I probably won't. This episode's going up the way it was recorded.
Oh, boy. yeah, the That's So Raven spinoff is called Raven's Home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Huh.
So she lives in a nest?
Yeah.
That's a Raven's Home, Steve. Okay, dumb.
I feel like I want to go back and watch that one because one thing I love about Animaniacs is all the little details in the background. There were so many billboards and props and things. I missed so many little Easter eggs, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of speaks to the greatness of Animaniacs is because there are so many jokes and so many visual things per second that it offers itself to a lot of rewatchability.
Right. Well, Yakko does a monologue about the reasoning for the reboots, and the Warners seem to join Yakko's cause until the Hulu executive presents them with a massive check for selling them out.
Hello, I'm Yakko Warner. And all joking aside, reboots are symptomatic of a fundamental lack of originality in Hollywood. A creativity crisis fueled by terrified executives clinging to the past like rats to the debris of a sinking ship.
Yeah, have you no shame?
Here's your check for the Animaniacs reboot, you sellouts.
Yeah, but when we sell out, we know we're selling out, so it's cool.
Again, with the metatextual humor.
Yeah.
I liked it.
That's the episode.
Yeah, that's our episode.
Well, I guess I was surprised that they did two songs, but they were good. They were catchy. They were well sung. I did detect a little bit of auto-tune, maybe for Dot. That's okay. I'll let it go. She's a cartoon. But I don't know. I would have wanted to maybe see more, I don't know, just like one song and then do a normal sketch for the third part, just for the very first episode. But I mean, it's great. All I can think is they probably wrote both of them. They're like, these are both great. Can we just do both? Because they both had to do with the time in between there being Animaniacs and not Animaniacs and then them coming back. I don't know.
Yeah, it's rare. Was it rare that because they did a part one and they came back to the story for the third act, essentially? They never really did that. They always did. Because a lot of the animes, it was always like they did one story that maybe didn't have a song in it, just had just the jokes, and then like the second segment, like Pinky and the Brain or the Squirrel. And then the third one, a lot of times, was just like a song.
Yeah. I will say that I do wish they would have used this first episode to introduce all the characters, which I don't think they're going to bring back, but it would have been cool to see the other cast members. And the fact that we didn't is kind of a bummer, but still, I think that it was a lot of fun to have the Pinky and the Brain, which I would argue is might be my favorite segment.
I agree.
This episode.
Yeah. Mine too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree. I was just trying to remember. I swear they had like a wheel of random or something. I had to Google it.
That's a wheel of random.
Okay, close. Well, what? You're close. They had the Wheel of Morality, because you were asking, like, do the animakes come back after the different sketches? And I swear, at the end, they would come back, and they'd go, Wheel of Morality, turn, 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 show us the lesson that we should learn. Do you guys remember that at all? It was Yakko Wakko
Wheel. I'm not sure if it was in every episode, but I think it was in most, where, yeah, it kind of wrapped up the whole episode.
Yeah, I think that maybe is how it would end sometimes. And then they would just pick some other random, basically, thing from a fortune cookie. It's like, don't put your eggs out on the counter.
But what if you need to use them?
I don't think they did Q&As after their shows, typically.
Yeah, it would have been really hard for the animators to, their wrists would hurt and animate.
That's true.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it too. We've actually watched the first 4 episodes. And you're right, they haven't brought back any like the Good Feathers or Slappy Squirrel. So I think it's just Pinky and the Brain, which I'm totally for, because, you know, obviously that was a fan favorite segment. They've got their own show.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that even Tiny Toons is coming back now, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Just bringing back everything. Everything's being rebooted. I think they even throw shade because they're talking about that reboot too in that last segment. They even show like, because Looney Tunes was rebooted on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
They even make that joke and like DuckTales and yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it though. I thought, well, obviously because I've watched 4 episodes. So, you know, it's one of those things I will put on and have a good time. You know, we don't have kids, but you don't have to have kids to enjoy this cartoon.
No. And I really think that even if you didn't grow up with it, you could enjoy it still. Like, it's not just for people who grew up with it, I feel. That's what I'm trying to say. I think that, you know, if you were to find this on Hulu for the first time, I think you'd really enjoy it.
It's got binge quality to it as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think what I always like about, like, Animaniacs is the quick jokes and the 3 segments. You're not bogged down with a 22-minute plot. They get in, get out. They do a better job of jokes than a lot of like SNL sketches.
Yeah.
Where like an SNL sketch could go on for like what seems to be 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still 3 minutes. Like, okay, we get the joke, let's just end it. I think Animaniacs is kind of like that.
Yeah, I think that the response to it has been fairly positive. I did read one article on TheVerge.com that says that basically that it's not sure if the Animaniacs can live in a Rick and Morty world, but like, because culture moves so much faster now that it doesn't work as well. But I disagree, because I think that they even joked about how their show was animated in 2018 and mm-hmm. still very relevant. So I don't know. I think it's a big success.
Yeah. If you think about it and look at culture, like American culture for the past 50 years, maybe things, you know, haven't changed culturally, you know, in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always still dealing with like an oil crisis. We're still dealing with racism, and we're still dealing with economy things, all of that. So for them making, like, being in 2018, like, yeah, you can make those jokes because everything's just so, it just gets recycled. So yeah, I think it is culturally relevant, the Animaniacs. It was a good time.
Yeah, I think so.
I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to watch the rest of it. I want to see what other new characters they bring, if any of the characters are going to stick. So I could think maybe they didn't put them in the intro because they don't really maybe know quite who they want to have be their new go-to segments.
That's a good point. Yeah, we didn't really see if there's like a new Slappy Squirrel, you know, like not mm-hmm. a squirrel, but like there's a new there's a the Trash Pandas. There we go. There's new characters. That's
perfect.
Characters.
I'm in. That sounds great.
Yeah, so, I'd watch that.
Yeah, raccoons are all the rage these days.
People love them.
Speaking of people, I noticed they've put a whole lot more humans in the show so far. Like, I thought they used to have, especially in Pinky and the Brain, it was like Peanuts parents. You would only see their legs. You never actually saw the scientists' faces.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
There weren't completely no humans, because you had Hello Nurse and Ralph the Guard and everything, but there's, I don't know, for me, I have to give it some more time to see how I feel about all the human faces, but I'm sure they'll do it right.
Yeah, there was a funny, speaking of Ralph, there was a funny little sight gag in the CEO's office. She had a poster of like wrecked Ralph, like a wrecked Ralph. I thought that was great. You're right. I think it was Heather saying like, just, you have to like kind of go back and just kind of like pause the scenes, because I'm sure we've missed a lot of little sight gags. Steve, what about you? Would you watch this?
Absolutely. I want to watch this whole season and just see where it goes. And I think what Heather said about it being kind of good the first time around and then really good passive viewing, I think it's a great thing. And so I'm looking forward to this in the second season and hopefully more. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
Do we rank it like we do with the Simpsons episodes?
I don't know if we need to.
It's been so long since we talked about something not Simpsons. We did that Star Trek episode in August. Do we rank it? Right. No, I'll just say it's definitely a watch for me. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And I think that's wraps up the show.
Cool. How about some plugs here? Heather.
Follow me on Twitter. It's Little Sally. LIDULSALI. It's very complicated. Watch me for tweets.
Yes.
And Twitches.
And Twitch streams.
And video games. And Jackbox. And karaoke.
There you go. She does it all, folks. So Little Sally on Twitter. A link to the Twitches. We, of course, have tpublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys for like a shirt or two, maybe some masks. You can talk to us on social media at 138simpsons at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app or your least favorite podcatching app and leave us 5 stars or the equivalent, and leave us a review, but not a real review, just a write your favorite episode of The Animaniacs, the new season.
But not the old season.
No, don't you dare.
We're not allowed to watch the old stuff, Steve. We can only watch new things. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Heather.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Till then, keep watching the skis.
Hello, Nurse.
Fjord, Zort, Troz, Narf. Pinky, tell me, what is Troz? Well, that's easy, brain. Troz is just Zort in a mirror.
And that'll do it for this week's episode of Eye Off Springfield.